Party people, welcome once again to the Party of One podcast, the actual play RPG podcast where the gaming table is always set for two. I'm your host as always, Jeff Stormer. This week on the show is part one of the Bloodbeam Badlands Fistful of Fangs trilogy. A trio of standalone episodes, each with their own unique guests that come together to create one ongoing interconnected story set in the world of Bloodbeam Badlands. An irradiated apocalyptic hellscape trapped under the eternal blazes of the Forever Dawn, a massive, blazing red sun. It is in this world that vampire gunslingers travel from place to place, shooting and fighting their way out of problems as best they can. You can learn more about Bloodbeam Badlands at videtiavaletti.itch.io, or you can check the show notes for more information. For now, lock and load, vampires, let's ride. Our guest this week is Aaron Voigt. Aaron is a podcaster, game designer, and TTRPG reviewer and video essayist. I really adore Aaron's work. I think his video essays around games are some of the most thoughtful and well-produced explorations about what make this art form so beautiful, and they really speak to me on this fundamental level. I'm going to link his essay about Apocalypse Keys, which I mentioned in the episode because I think it is just very, very good. I'm also going to link the essay that he produced about Bloodbeam Badlands because I think it's dope. Aaron, I like your work a lot. I know you're probably listening to this. You make great shit, and I want you to know that. Anyway, you can find all of Aaron's work at aavoigt.com, that's aavoigt.com, or you can check the show notes for more information. But first, a note that this episode is sponsored by Multitude Productions and their Actual Play podcast, Join the Party, as part of their Direct Creator Support Initiative. The Actual Play community is full of incredible creators telling some of the most imaginative stories in all of entertainment, and as fans of the art form, Multitude want to keep finding new ways to support AP creators and their audiences. And to get an idea of some of the amazing work that's being done in the Actual Play space, look no further than Join the Party. Join the Party is an AP podcast focused on genre-pushing storytelling and celebrating the artistry of its cast and collaborators, and just being a love letter to the medium in general. Their current campaign, they're playing Masks, which is all about teenagers dealing with the drama of superhero high school. If you know me, you know that I love Masks a whole lot, and so that is extremely up my alley. And if you're a fan of Actual Play storytelling, you should absolutely go check it out and see if they become your actual favorite, well, maybe your second favorite Actual Play podcast. Check out Multitude and join the party at jointhepartypod.com or connect with them at jointhepartypod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Facebook, or Twitter, and be sure to let them know that Party of One sent you so that they know that their direct creator support initiative is working. Now, with all that said, let's go ahead and throw it over to me in the past so that he can get started with the show. Take it past me. Thanks, future me. I am so excited. I'm sitting down with Aaron Voigt today. Aaron, thank you so much for coming on Party of One.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
I could not be more excited. I've been looking forward to today's recording all day. This is going to be a blast and a half, genuinely and truly. I'm so excited to get to play a game together. This is going to be so much fun. So, at the top of the episode, before we introduce the game that we are playing, why don't you let our lovely listeners at home know about anything you've got going on that you might want them to know about?
Yeah, I do like video essays on tabletop games, so you can follow my YouTube channel that's at AAVoigt on YouTube, but I try to do like Jacob Geller style dives into tabletop games. It's a fun time.
I just, at the day of this recording, you dropped a video about Ironsworn like a day or two ago, I believe?
Yep, yesterday.
And I watched it as soon as it dropped, and it's great. I like your videos so much. I genuinely loved your video on Apocalypse Keys. It was phenomenal. It captured me. I enjoy your work a great deal. Sometimes I get to say this on mic, and it's the distinct joy of my job.
Well, I'm very flattered. Party of One has introduced me to so many games, so I'm really happy to pay back the favor.
I'm glad. This is good. This is a good feeling, a good moment. And now with that out of the way, I am going to throw some horrifying vampires at you, because we are playing Bloodbeam Badlands, which is a game by noted enemy of the show and also one of my favorite designers in the world, Vidita Valetti. It is a game about vampires in the apocalypse. The sun burns red in the sky, the forever dawn, vampires irradiated, wander the surface, six shooters in hand, trying to navigate a vastly changing post-apocalyptic landscape as best they can. And it is a game about cool superpower gunfights and badass things, and I have a list of those things to throw at you over the course of the game today.
Excellent, can't wait.
So, introduce us to your vampire this week. You are, we characters in Bloodbeam Badlands are vampires. They are wandering this eternal daylight. So talk to us about who particularly your vampire is.
I'm playing Evelyn Duvall. She is a vampire who comes from the transubstantiate bloodline, which means that she can transform into a truly monstrous true form. And I hopefully will be able to see some of that today. But that's kind of the up top. She uses the phase ammo, which is another fun type. Bloodbeam Badlands does a lot of like weird ammunition types. So she can like kind of teleport with her bullets, which is cool. And she's got a fun backstory. You know, she's got a standard issue Webley revolver, rumored to have belonged to Dr. Van Helsing himself. So that's weird.
That's a weird one. That's weird. Less so because you find yourself in the biodome fortress of the techno-fascist of the future President Dracula.
Normal stuff.
Sometimes the prep for a game is you come up with a really great first sentence, and then that's it. That's all you got, and that's all you need.
What else is there besides fighting President Dracula?
You know what? If our games can't aspire to being where you're fighting techno-fascist President Dracula, what are we even really doing here? So, I want to know at the start of the game. Here's the opening. I'm gonna give you the opening situation, and then I want to flashback a little bit. You find yourself in the floating biodome fortress of President Dracula. You are crouched behind a crystalline outcropping of a replica of one of the last surviving Martian crystal caves. The red sun of the sky is still beaming through the glass walls of this biodome, covering the surface in that accursed eternal daylight. And pointing directly at your location is the long arm rifle of one of a trio of Renfields that are vampires that have sworn allegiance to President Dracula in exchange for a cheap dose of power. Three of them, after you have broken in, have cornered you behind this crystalline outcropping. And before the first gunshot takes off and the fight gets underway, I want to know, I want you to tell me what has brought you, like, why are you here, and what has the experience been like to get here?
I think Evelyn is very ambitious. I think that she is seeking some way to enhance her power, to truly become, you know, to inhabit her monstrous form. And I think that she knows that President Dracula has some secret magics or research or mm-hmm. some way to that she can use to make herself more powerful. I think she is searching for some way to become, you know, to take the role that she sees herself as the Duchess of Ambition. She wants to, you know, come into her own.
That's fantastic. I think that along that, like, in line with that, you like, I think the rumor that, you know, President the Dracula, the existence of Dracula, the idea that Dracula survived, the idea that Dracula still roamed the blighted world floating in a flying fortress was a rumor that you uncovered truth to and found the location and broke onto moments before it blasted off into the earth, into the skies. Like, this is you snuck onto the biodome intending to hunt Dracula to prove the existence and truth of his survival, and if he was alive, take his power for yourself. And then the whole damn biodome lifted into the sky as the culmination of President Dracula's like grand plan of restoring this thing and taking his rightful place as the god of this doomed planet.
Great. Excellent.
you have been navigating this for a short period. You can see Dracula, the outline of Dracula's throne on the horizon, but also the landscape of this biodome is changing and shifting and full of trophies of all of Dracula over his accursed life, So it's going to take navigating across some of that to get there. And first and foremost, you have found yourself back in these crystal outcroppings. The aesthetic is very Superman's Fortress of Solitude in the Martian crystal caves. And there's a gun pointed at you as you hide behind these crystals. What do you do?
I think Evelyn kind of calls out to the Renfields and she says, now you boys don't want to die in a place like this, do you?
I think that the leader of the trio, the one with the gun pointed at you, is completely still and stoic and just mutters, "By Dracula's glory, we shall live eternal. You have the choice to make, you have the choice to unlock the same power, or you have the choice to die here and have your blood drained for our feast. It's a pretty simple decision."
I think she kind of like adjusts her black hat and readies herself and says, "I ain't nobody's dinner." Gets ready for a fight, you know, gets her quick draw out and, you know, just goes to town.
All right. That sounds like it's going to be an imposed roll because you are rolling it against an opponent. The way that dice rolling works in Bloodbeam Badlands is you are going to roll a number of D6s equal to one of your stats. You have two sets of stats. You have skills or stats? What's the term that I'm looking?
Stats are the number of dice you roll, and yeah. Sources are the resources you burn.
Yes. So you've got your stats, which are your the things that define you. Those are the dice that you roll. You also have your source values, which are three stats, which are the resources that like power you through in the way that you survive. So you are going to roll one of your stats under one of your sources, and I think in this case, this has got to be bullets, right? That feels like
easy
the right
source. Roll.
What's this is an imposed roll. This has got to be guns under bullets, as I feel like this feels right.
Guts? Is it guts? It's guts, guiles, and guys, right?
Guts, guile. Yes, guts, guiles, guts, guile, and guys. And gun is it gun? No, bullets is. Yeah, I was looking at the wrong thing. I got my stats mixed up. Sometimes it happens. You're gonna roll me. I think. Probably, let's see, what is it listed? It says a specific thing when you're trying to shoot someone, and I forget which one it is.
It's gotta be guts, right? Brawn and courage, you're a monster through and through, can face other monsters head on. I feel like that's guts.
That feels right. Feels like guts under. This feels like guts under bullets.
Yep. I'm gonna roll 2d6. That's a 1 and a 5. My bullets is 2.
You move quick, and I'm going to say, like, describe to me taking out this Renfield with the rifle as the other two scatter to the left and right and start to take on monstrous forms.
I mean, I think it's just like, tips the hat up and like kind of like throws it up, try to distract them, and then just kind of like does the typical like pulling the hammer back on the revolver, firing several shots, and then just dropping this dude.
Yeah. And this dude drops quick. Like, this is quick, bloody, and gruesome. Like, this is where we earn the hard R rating that this film serial has, because this is some real trauma shit, is what this is. This first Renfield lights up, and the other two break left and right. You follow them both with your eyes for a second. One of them jumps behind a similar crystal outcropping to the one that you were hiding behind. The other leaps into the air, takes the form of quick, I guess, a useful quick safety thing. But how are we about bugs as a plot thing or a descriptor?
I think I'm pretty good as long as I don't have to. I think any bugs are fine. In real life, I cannot handle bugs, but fictionally, they're okay.
Okay, that works. I appreciate the check. I appreciate the check and the breakdown. Because there's a swarm. I feel like a good swarm of like wasps is coming towards you. because that's a cool vampire, you know, transformation thing.
Right, right. That's going to be a problem.
I think it's swirling like a cyclone specifically.
Yeah, Evelyn's got bullets, not super good against a tornado of wasps. I think she realizes the predicament she's in, and immediately is going to want to like get some distance and break for like a little bit of higher ground just to figure out what resources she's got.
I think to outrun this thing is probably guile under blood, I think.
Guile. Okay, I'm pretty guiley. I've got 3 in guile, and my blood is 2. So 3, 1, 5.
Okay, so that is not a success, but you can burn burn a point of blood to make that a success, unless you want to hold on to that for now.
Is it more interesting if I hold on, if I let it ride?
Let's let it ride. Cause right. I think that's a good, compelling, mainly cause I want to know what happened, what Evelyn does when she's like, when she's pinned down by this tornado of wasps. Like, I want to know, like when you don't have time to react to this. And I think, the other thing that you see, I'm going to say you make some distance. Maybe you clear the ground a little bit from the second vampire, the one that's currently hiding behind some crystal. So you're facing this first vampire one on one, but you are still you got your back against a wall now.
Yeah, no, I think Evelyn is not thrilled about the fact that she's cornered by a wasp tornado. I think she's just like, y'all are really gonna make me do this already. I'm already not having a great day. And I think she's going to try to use one of her bloodline aspects. And let me make sure I got the rules for that right. Activate this power by spending 1 blood for each aspect you're manifesting. So I think I've got 2 blood right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I burn 1... I'm going to manifest my lopsided tusks that unhinge my mouth to impossible proportions and try to eat the wasps.
What a good beast. Damn. Fuck. Okay. Yes. I'm glad that this is where we're going. Okay. So, make me a, this is going to be guts under, I think this is guts. I think that, activating my... Oh, here's what I'm going to say, because I think that this feels right. There's still the third vampire to deal with. Oh, no, wait, you got... I'm going to say that I think I'm going to call for a roll here, and I think this is guts under blood.
Okay, great.
But you do get a boost here because you're using that aspect, which means your blood is back up to 2.
Okay. So I have to get a 1 here. All right. So that's a 1.
Fuck yeah.
There's rules for tying though, right?
I think there are. Let me.
Spectacles. If your lowest die roll is equal to your source value, then something explosive happens. You disastrously succeed and triumphantly fail. Consider it a dramatic partial success. Cool.
Okay, then I know exactly what happens. You swallow this tornado, like you open your jaw, you tear into this tornado and it retakes the form of this vampire as you tear it to shreds.
Excellent.
And the way that you spectacularly succeed is as you see, I think the way you spectacularly succeed is you see the third vampire who you notice was conjuring an ever larger ball of blue fire. You notice, sees that, extinguishes the fire, turns tail and starts running.
Okay.
At which point... it does not make it far before is grabbed by the ankle and kind of like slammed back and forth like a cartoon by I need an extremely important piece of I gotta go where my brain went immediately. This is Frankenstein's monster. If we're throwing in Dracula, I'm going all of the universal monsters.
You gotta.
Like, it's the right thing to do. I think in this case, about 12 feet tall, mammoth, cybernetically enhanced, you know, monster truck sized Frankenstein, like, bursts through one of these, grabs this Renfield, smashes them repeatedly into a wall, and, like, stares you down silently.
Howdy, partner. You wouldn't happen to know where Dracula's staying, would you?
You know what? Give me a roll here. I think this is guile.
Guile.
And what do I think this is under? What do you think this is under? This is a pretty I don't think this is necessarily an imposed check, so you tell me what you want to roll here.
I have the most burn. Let's see. Roll under bullets when you're relying on tools, acting on your knowledge of the mortal world, and navigating the apocalypse. You know, this seems like navigating the apocalypse in some ways. I think
I'll take that.
Guile under bullets. So that's,
I'll take that.
Three, trying to get two or under. That's a five, a one, and a one. Okay.
Okay, great. Because you got two ones, I'm going to throw in, you can tell me what added benefit you get. Frankenstein's not necessarily evil. It's my classic monster movie trope that I love, which is that Frankenstein is here, but he's not necessarily a bad dude. He's just in the wrong place at the wrong time, same as you. I think the fact that you don't, you know, you still in your monstrous form with your massive jaw, you don't go on the attack. I think Frankenstein just kind of, like, locks eyes with you, looks up the mountain, looks back at you, and says, "Through a whole lot of dead bodies."
I think Evelyn sighs, I think her tusks, or I want to try to do something with that, but first, I think she's just like, ain't that always the way?
That's our lot in this world.
I have the ability to eat the heart of something to satiate myself when I'm in my monstrous form.
Mm-hmm.
May I eat the heart of one of these Renfields to try to get some of my blood back?
In fact, I think that you've already done that. I think for one, the first one you already did eat. So I think absolutely. Roll me a D3.
Okay. That is a three.
All right, yeah, you get three blood. You get three blood.
Excellent, crushing it.
You do still get this one added advantage if you'd like. Like, if you'd like, Frankenstein can throw you this other one.
Yeah, no, I think, like, after I wipe my mouth off, and my tusks shrink back into my mouth, I say, apologies for eating without offering you anything. But you have any advice for somebody on a death mission?
I think he throws you the other body, stands up straight, kind of does, like, the back flex a little bit, cracks his neck one way, cracks his neck the other way, just kind of looks at you, keep moving, keep shooting, and remember that the plug is in the back.
Thank you, sir. Tips her hat.
And I think does the Hulk leap? I think you see, like, here's what I'm gonna say. Does a Hulk leap? You kind of see, you see the bursts of smoke in the distance as he is proceeding to just Hulk leap off into the distance.
Godspeed.
And I think that with that, you continue on the route. We pan over. Aaron, I'm going to ask you a question that I've been confronted with hundreds of times in my life,
oh,
and
no.
It's a question with no good answer. You're one step closer to Dracula. Do you take the clock tower? Do you head for the clock tower or the swamp?
Ah, oh, the classic dilemma.
it's the classic dilemma.
Gosh. I think it's swamp, right? You gotta go over to the swamp.
All right. Yeah, you head for the swamp. This is specifically, you head for the swamp, and the thing that you realize immediately is, this is, I think, as you are moving for the swamp, the thing that you quickly piece together, you're watching the trees and they kind of like lean closer to you. You know what I mean? They kind of like lean in to stare at you. You're feeling the eyes of owls and birds kind of like leering at you. This is not merely a swamp. This is, or rather, this swamp, to say that this swamp is alive is perhaps more literal than it would normally be to say that a swamp is alive.
Excellent. Great. I think Evelyn kind of like smells the air and kind of like shakes her head and says, oh, it's never easy, is it?
And there's a tree. There is a tree that is kind of leaning in your direction, and its limbs are extended, and you see them kind of drop and then lift into a shrug.
I think she like pats it on the bark. It's just kind of like a there.
And it points you. It points you. There is a line of stones across the water of this swamp that kind of like gurgle and bubble as it kind of like opens up a pathway for you through.
Yeah, I mean, I think she goes on the stones.
The second that you set a foot on, like, you make it about halfway across, you notice that the swamp itself, like, the vines and things are kind of, like, slithering out of your way, kind of, like, allowing, like, giving you a clear line through, and then about halfway through, you still see the red sun in the sky, and then there is a shadow that flies over top of it, and immediately the entire canopy of the swamp closes. There is no visibility, and I think the water around you kind of starts to bubble and gurgle and almost boil with an urgency of, you gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's no good.
And then with that, you hear the fluttering of leathery wings and like a burst of fire, like a diesel engine backfiring as you see trees getting ripped out, like getting knocked out of the way as something is flying towards you.
Yeah, I think Evelyn's instinct is to run. I don't know that she has any flight abilities. I think she just like just begins to sprint away from the fire and towards the closest exit that's not boiling.
Okay. That's gonna be, I think, this is a basic check, so this is really, you can tell me what you wanna roll here.
Let's see. I think this is probably just guts under blood.
That feels right. Yeah, that feels
pretty basic. So that's 2 trying to get under 4. That's a 6 and a 2. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You are running, and the swamp is ushering you along. You are rushing at full speed. You see behind you, you don't know where Dracula got a dragon, but Dracula's got a dragon. You don't really have not pieced that one together, but you know what? Dracula, in his reign of tyranny, before his supposed death, he got up to some things, and it seems one of those things was collecting a dragon.
I think Evelyn's just like, I didn't vote for this guy, but I did not want my tax dollars to go to this.
Yeah, you race and you run, and I think that like a tree emerges, and the hole in a tree, like the hole in a stump, like opens up and you kind of see a cavernous interior. And as the dragon is at your back, you have just enough time to kind of leap into it. And there is like a tunnel system. Whether it was here before or whether this is the swamp manifesting a tunnel system within itself is unclear, but you have found yourself in a series of tunnels beneath the surface of the biodome. You hear the dragon fly overhead. You hear the bursting of fire and the lashing of vines. What do you do?
Yeah, I think Evelyn's like, well, I'm certainly not going to fight that. I think she's going to try to risk it in the tunnels. And what she's going to do is I'm going to burn another one of my blood to activate another aspect of my monstrous form, which is my single compound eye that glitters in the Forever Dawn's glow. I'm just trying to maybe use my super vision to whatever power this gives me to find an optimal way out of this this labyrinth.
Yeah, this is a basic roll, so what you can tell me what you want to roll. It sounds like it's going to be guise under probably burn.
I'll take that.
You tell me.
Okay. Guise under burn would be great. My guise is 2, my burn is 6. That's a 1 and a 3.
Okay, yeah, this is, you are able to, like, you spawn this compound eye, and the pathway lies in front of you. You hear the chittering and tunneling of underground creatures of mole men specifically, like digging around and like hunting for the vampire that has set her gun on the forces of Dracula. You see they're kind of burrowing and tunneling around you. You're able to duck between a few of their tunnels. You make it back up to the surface. The swamp is behind you. And let's see, where do you emerge? Where do I want you to emerge in the third challenge before we get to the big showdown with Dracula? Gotta be a graveyard, right? It's
yeah.
gotta be the
yeah.
it's gotta be
100%.
It is the field of fallen foes. It is a graveyard of tombs of Dracula's enemies that have been buried here. So it is a trophy case by way of graveyard. It stretches for what looks like miles in any direction.
Yeah, I think Evelyn, again, quipping to herself, just like a politician to turn a bloodbath into a PR stunt.
How are you moving through this graveyard? What's your plan here?
Let's see. I think her eye is back to normal. I think she's deactivated that. So I think she is just going to, what would a vampire do in a graveyard? I mean, I think she's going to look for like the biggest monument in a graveyard and figure that's going to be significant. Like she can either climb it or like there'll be something there that tells her a little bit about Dracula. And that'll help her navigate going forward.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to have you. You are able to find. This is actually a pretty great moment, because I think the obvious choice of like what the largest gravesite would be is there is a mausoleum to the bloodline Van Helsing.
There we go.
It is this large, like it has this sort of finery, like a royal family's like private mausoleum, but like it is exaggerated and sort of mocking in its like, look at what has amounted to your glorious family bloodline. They have all stepped to Dracula and they have all fallen. And they rot in my biodome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as you investigate this, give me a guile under burn roll.
Guile 3, burn 6. It's a 3, 3, and 5.
Damn. Ask me three questions about as you navigate this graveyard. What do you want to know before, especially before you get to Dracula's flying throne?
Yeah, I think first question is like, what can I tell about his psychology from the way he's designed his graveyard?
What you can tell is that like, I think you kind of quipped it. But I think that you also kind of hit it exactly. Like, this is an ego trip, right? Like, mm-hmm. this is Dracula needing to prove to himself and his army of Renfields that he is strong, right? Like, this is the move of someone, you know, this is the move of someone. And like, because I think that some of the graves you see are like Simon Belmont, right? Like you see like a Belmont grave.
Mm-hmm.
There's also stuff like, you know, Renfield 417 defied me and my order to bypass the safety protocol, where it's like, that didn't really like, that is a I am doing this to send a message.
Walked too close to the garlic aisle at Kroger.
Yeah, right. Like there are some on here that just you're kind of like, this seems sad more than it. Like there's a sadness to this of like, I need to prove that I am as strong as I've ever been.
Excellent. I think my second question then is, you know, what is he compensating for? Is there a weakness that perhaps he's trying to overcorrect for?
The thing that you notice, I think that you come upon, I think as you enter the mausoleum, the thing that you notice is there is, in one of the tombs, there is like an engine on top.
Mm.
And this engine has tubes pumping into it. And there are like blood capsules, but a capsule in the sense of like one of those like pneumatic tubes they use at the bank.
Mm-hmm.
One of those containers that is full of blood that is being pumped out of one of these like significant corpses that seems like it is filling a battery or some kind of fluid container with like magically powerful or mystically powerful blood. And presumably someone is going to come by and harvest this.
Okay, that is tricky. And for my last question, you know, what is something that I'm overlooking? You know, what is going to be the biggest threat to me?
The biggest threat to you in this moment is that there has been a sweeping sound that you have like overlooked as you've been kind of like gathering this information. There is somebody in here. And, you know, the big question of like, somebody's going to come by and collect these blood containers. You're not alone in here.
Great. Good. Do I have time to like hide?
You can make me a roll to find out.
All right.
I think, what do you want this roll to be?
This seems like a clear guise under,
thinking maybe bullets.
Yeah, maybe like whatever supplies or tools I can find to use.
Yeah, kind of like finding a spot to hide. It's kind of finding a spot to hide and then making out like it. Mm-hmm. It's the difference between like I am building a hiding place and I am jumping behind something, and I think guys under bullets feels like I'm moving things around to lay low.
Right. All right. This is a 2 and a 2, so let's see what I can get. That's a 2 and a 5, so that's I think that's a disaster success, right?
Yep.
Great.
And so I know exactly what the disastrous success is.
Oh boy.
You can't have a Dracula, especially not with this many Castlevania references, and not have a Grim Reaper walking around. And I think the person harvesting these capsules is like the sweeping noise is the sound of like a giant oversized scythe scraping along the ground as like Wall uses it as a walking stick and it starts unscrewing these things. The success here is that you are unnoticed, and you see this, you see the Grim Reaper kind of like shuffling along, gathering up, gathering these things, putting them into like a little, into a floating, sort of like a floating platform next to him. He's sort of placing each of these capsules on this platform. And the disastrous part is that your friend has shown up again.
My boy.
Except now you're not like out in the open on a mountain. You're in a building that has just had the walls smashed through like the Kool-Aid Man. And now there is a collapsing building around you as Frankenstein is throwing hands with the Grim Reaper.
Excellent. I think I, you know, look at him and I go, that's the bravest son of a bitch, or perhaps multiple sons of bitches I've ever seen. And I try to just hightail it out of there before, you know, I'm impaled on a very cool buttress or something.
I think that's a guts under, do you think blood or burn, do you think?
Let's go with blood.
That feels right. That feels right.
So I've got to roll 2d6 under 3. That's a 2 and a 2. Whew.
Okay, yeah. You make it out just in time. You see the blood capsule smashing, Frankenstein being torn open with the Grim Reaper scythe. Frankenstein smashing the Grim Reaper's bones with his bare, these colossal hands that are as big as your torso. This fight is going all out, and I think like as you emerge out, you run, you kind of see lowering down, you see the floating throne of Dracula like nearby, but as you emerge, this has brought the attention of Dracula's werewolf commandos.
Oh, sick.
just a phrase that I'm excited to use.
It's really good. It's like cellar door. It's the perfect phrase.
It is. They you see them in bestial form, in werewolf form, like racing. In werewolf form, they all have the universal code for a commando soldier, which is a bandolier.
Mm-hmm.
Inexplicable, because it doesn't seem like any of them have guns, and beret hats.
Yes, 100%.
The universal symbol.
They're the Foreign Legion, yeah.
Yeah.
I go...
And they are descending on your location. What do you do?
Oh, boy. I think... werewolf commandos are a little bit tougher than your average Renfield. I think she's gonna try to be more like... you know, like my colleagues, please, we have nothing to lose but our leashes here, our chains, like, please, we all have one true enemy, you know, don't, you know, look at all this opulence the Count has amassed, you know, and who are you fighting for, you know, yourselves or you know, this president king?
I think this is an imposed role. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna up the difficulty by one because these are loyal soldiers, right?
Shoot.
Which means the difficulty's up by one. This is burn difficulty down by one. You can still spend points to change that, but or invoke your bestial abilities if you feel like there's a way that they can help you here. And I think this is guile, right? This is wit and cunning. This is sharp thinking.
Right. So that brings my burn down to 5 with the difficulty. I will roll 3 guile to try to beat that. That's a 4, a 2, and a 3.
They descend. They're about to descend upon you. Two of them. There's like 4 or 5 of them sitting on top of gravestones. One of them stands up and, like, painstakingly takes a humanoid form. As a character actor as character actor. Scar on the face. Mm-hmm. Old guy with a scar on his face stands there looking at you. Reaches into a pocket. Pulls out... It is a stick of Wolfsbane gum. That feels right. That feels good.
Sure.
and leans against this one of these gravestones. So what are you proposing instead?
I'm proposing you all help me turn this into my own personal duchy, and you all can be the people who finally hold the leash.
I think that, okay. I think they kind of, lean back. We want a raise.
Done.
Well, damn, this is the best negotiation I've ever done.
Let's see, you got me over a barrel here.
And I think, kind of snaps his fingers, all the other wear commandos surround around. Let's get our new boss to the throne, and I think it's time we institute a coup. And you all collectively rush the throne, at which point you see in his glory President Dracula. He kind of you see this, and there's the shadow falls over you. A shadow leaps off of the throne, crashes down. There is a swirling cloud of smoke, and with the whirring of gears and pistons and creaking rusted metal, stands before you. He is the body of Dracula is a rot, a decomposing corpse. It is withered. It is dried. There is Quincy Morris's Texan Bowie knife jammed into his heart. Big fangs, big Nosferatu face, and is withering away. But the alien style power loader suit is not at all. And the mm-hmm. glass bubble around the body seems pretty fine.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It stands up. There is a flowing red cape from the shoulders of this thing. And it stands there. It holds out its hand, and I have to ask you, Aaron, is a laser sword or a sword flying off of the throne the cooler visual? What are we thinking here? What feels right?
I think for the tone of Bloodbeam Badlands, it's gotta be a laser sword.
Okay, yeah, that feels good. It is a laser sword that activates, and ghosts are swirling around it. So it is literally a sword made of the soul, made of dead souls.
Hell yeah.
Is looming and staring down everyone of staring down you and your commando squad.
I think you've seen better days, Mr. President.
This one I like.
Oh, I think it's time for your term to come to an end, sir. Stand down, and perhaps I'll make your death swift.
Dracula does not take orders from anyone. Dracula, President Dracula, gives orders.
And I think, with, as you are saying that, two of the werewolves leap over your shoulder and are cut in twain in one swoop.
You surround yourself with disloyal peasants. I shall show you the cost of associating with soldiers of such low moral caliber.
And, Dracula... because if you're going to ring the bell, you got to go for it. The power loader suit leans back, one knee forward, one knee to the side. The hand not holding the sword comes forward, and you see the fingers do the come get some.
Hell yeah.
sometimes we just have to, is the thing.
100%. And I think at that point, Evelyn just says, looks to her left and her right and says, "This is where we earn our pay, boys," and just unloads.
All right. Because you are being aided here, I think that you can actually, let me remind myself of what happens when you are being aided. I think that you increase a source by one.
Cool.
I think, let me just confirm that. It is a thing that I don't remember if I made that up or not. It's going to be under the stats, boosts in difficulty. Yeah, this is effectively a person that is helping you out. So you have two boosts here, which can increase a source by one. Or I'm going to have it cancel out the two difficulty that Dracula is adding to the situation as you unload here.
Great. Yeah, I think this is what, like guts under bullets?
That feels right. That feels right.
Yeah, right. That's two guts, two bullets. I'm going to roll. That's a one and a six. Split the difference.
All right. I think that what we... Talk to me about what we see that... damage. How do you damage the ship or damage the damage and disarm the power loader, but not destroy it and not take it out of the fight?
You know, I think it might be more interesting if I spend a bullets to use my phase ammo, because we haven't seen that on screen yet.
Okay, yeah.
I think what I'm gonna do is, like, at first there's a skirmish where Dracula is, like, you know, swinging the laser sword, and I'm kind of getting pushed into a corner. And then I kind of, like, load my special phase ammo and, like, shoot it, like, behind him. And he's just like, ha, 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 pathetic. But then I teleport, you know, with the phase ammo, and I'm able to, like, pull the arm off of the loader and disarm him that way.
Yeah, the arm goes flying. I think that the commandos grab the other arm. And I think the legs, I think that the sort of chest pod, the mobile coffin, so to speak, I think, like, fly, like, blasts off. Like, it has an eject where the loader is destroyed, but the flying coffin still exists. And I think what occurs is you can see on it, and now you can kind of see a weak point, and you think about what Frankenstein said earlier. You can see, like, a blood engine on the back of it that seems to be pumping blood into the suit and also into Dracula, that it seems to be being harvested from various sources. So this is Dracula's emergency life support, and Dracula blasts out of it. That blood starts twirling around little, like, engine combines and twirling and twirling and twirling. And, I'm going to throw some lightning at you. Let's Excellent. Go full Palpatine and throw some lightning bolts. I think that feels like a good fight. No, they're blue fireballs. Cause Dracula's thing is that he throws blue fireballs. Right. That feels right. Yeah, there it is. How are you reacting?
I think I am getting to the point where I need to start pulling out all the stops. I'm going to burn another blood and activate the third aspect that I've got, which is my dozen grasping arms trembling with anger. And I've been playing Tears of the Kingdom lately, and there's a boss enemy in Tears of the Kingdom that's just like a Hydra made of hands.
Cool, sick.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking of, is just, like, a bunch of, like, evil hands, like, shadow hands shooting out and, like, you know, defending me from this fire.
And, okay, yeah, give me a, this is going to be guts under blood here. This is guts and blood. You've got a boost because of your bestial form. I think that's going to, counter out the one remaining difficulty, which is still that Dracula is throwing magic in every which direction, but now you're rolling a flat roll here.
All right.
So tell me what you got.
All right.
You still got two boosts, so you're up, your blood is up by two because you've still got your commandos.
Okay. So I will be rolling two guts under four blood with the two boost.
That is correct.
All right. So that's a three and a two.
All right. You rip. The hands rip the coffin to pieces. They smash the glass. They pull Dracula's body out of it. And, the moment that they do, you notice that Dracula's heart starts glowing blue and, like, crackling with energy. And the knife in it is rattling. And, you see, like, blue, cracks on Dracula's skin as his body is finally exposed to the blood red sun. And you feel rattling underneath your feet as the biodome that seems to have been powered by Dracula's own magic is now also crashing to the surface. Everything is crumbling and tumbling, and you have one final moment with the body of Dracula before it explodes, and then the primary concern becomes getting the hell out of this place with perhaps your rightful place, but also more importantly your life and survival the final priority.
Not hurtling to my death in space.
Yeah,
I mean, I think Evelyn says today the Van Helsing bloodline is avenged, and she activates her other aspect, the lopsided tusk that unhinge her mouth, and she eats Dracula's heart.
Great. You get a full your blood refills to 6 immediately.
Woo.
It's Dracula. It's Dracula's blood. It fucks you up. You tear the head off of Dracula, you throw the body aside. There is an explosion of energy. You are sent hurtling. Your werewolf commandos are sent blasting alongside of you. The three of you tumble. In that moment, what occurs is, I'm not gonna have you roll here, because there is a moment that I think is good, and that is that you are swept up, you the werewolves, are all grabbed by Frankenstein, you leap through the wall of the biodome, you land safely to the side, you watch it crash down in an overwhelming explosion of dust and glass and, you know, cross-dimensional debris. There is chaos, there is destruction, and the four of you are left standing, staring at the ruins of Castle Biodome Dracula, and Dracula is dead?
In the end, he was just a miserable little pile of secrets.
Damn good. That's like the fortunes of Castle Dracula are yours to plunge, but that is the start of an adventure for another day. And with that, aside from a brief post-credit, that's game.
All right. This was so much fun.
This ruled. This was great.
Great
the
game.
The final thing that we see as we queue up the next installment of the which I've introduced in the intro as the Fistful of Fangs trilogy is we do see a robed figure crawl through the wreckage, come upon the withered body of Dracula, see the heart still beating blue, load it into a suitcase and sneak off into the night. To be continued. This game ruled. This was fucking great. Thank you so much for playing this with me. I am over the moon. This was fantastic.
Thank you, Jeff. No, this is very cool. Badlands is just an incredible, incredible game.
It really is. There's so much that I love about it. I love the section that Vid wrote that is literally just like, this is what I want out of the game. And like, it's written in a very straightforward fashion of like, this is what the space that I am playing in. Like, this is my acknowledgments of the tricky areas of that is really right. Nice. And the thematic elements are so rich. It's just, this game fucking rules is the thing.
It's incredible. No, I really appreciate. And that's something that Vidita, like, you know, gets shouted out in the RTFM podcast they recently did about Bloody and Bad Dams. They're just like, yeah, it's kind of nice just to be like, hey, here's the influences I'm going for. And here's how they're kind of complicated, but that's okay. It's so nice to know your author's intentions, and yeah,
it's great. Fucking rules. So thank you again for playing this with me. But before we wrap up, where can people find you and your work online?
I'm at AA Voigt on YouTube. I'm at Aaron SXL on Twitter, where I tweet about tabletop RPGs, health policy, and writing sometimes. And my main website is aavoigt.com.
All right. Well, thank you again for playing this with me. I am absolutely over the moon. This was everything. When I wrote out the sentence, you are trapped on the biodome of President Dracula, this was exactly as cool and over the top as I had hoped, and I could not be happier. This was great. I had a blast, and now I'm going to throw it over to me in the future so that he can wrap up with the show. Take a future me. Thanks, Past Me, and thanks again to Aaron for coming onto the show. That was, like, you know, you start from the place of President Dracula's biodome, and I truly threw some nonsensical prompts at Aaron just to, like, get a reaction, and that somehow lived up to that title and brought that much joy into my heart. I was positively thrilled at this entire experience. Thank you so much for playing this with me. I had a wonderful time. Be sure to pick up your own copy of Bloodbeam Badlands at viditiavaletti.itch.io or check the show notes for more information. And be sure to check out Aaron's work at aavoit.com, check out his video essays on YouTube, or follow him on Twitter, as long as that's still a fucking thing, at AaronSXL. Then while you're on Twitter, follow us at Party of One Pod, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Party of One Podcast, find us on TikTok at Party of One Podcast, find us on Tumblr at Party of One Pod, subscribe to our newsletter at buttondown.email/Party of One Podcast. And join our Discord community at bit.ly/partyofonediscord. If you enjoy the show, there's a lot of ways to support it. You can support us financially at patreon.com/jeffstormer or ko-fi.com/jeffstormer. You can give us a nice iTunes review, shout us out to a friend, give us some love on social media. You can buy some Party of One merch at bit.ly/partyofonemerch. Or, if you're looking for more great podcast content, you can check out All My Fantasy Children, which is a character creation, storytelling, and world-building podcast that I make with my best friend in the world, Aaron Catano-Saez. We take a listener-submitted prompt and spin it into an original fantasy character, populating a shared universe one story at a time. You can also check out Yazeba's Bed and Breakfast, which is an actual play about a heartless witch, a cozy house, and the many people making their homes inside. Both of those you can find wherever you get your podcasts. Party of One is, as always, produced and edited by Jeff Stormer and Jen Frank. Music for the show comes from the song Infinite Lives by Megaran, featuring the D&D Sluggers, and the Party of One logo is by Evan Rowland. If you'd like to inquire about advertising rates coming onto the show as a guest or about press coverage of the show, you can email me at partyofonepodcast@gmail.com. And unless I am mistaken, that is all we do here. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. Remember to fight the forces of fascism every single day. Remember that self-love and self-care are radical and defiant acts of resistance. And as always, party on, everybody.